Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from the book of Proverbs in chapters 6, 10, 12, and 26. If you're reading from the Free Bible, you could turn with me to page 620. Chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Chapter 10 on page 624. Verse 4 to 5. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Chapter 12, the next page, verse 24. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. Chapter 26 on page 640, verse 13 to 16. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly. Thank you.
Thank you, Cecil. Let's pray as we come to God's word today. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Proverbs that teach us how to live in the way that you are pleased with, Lord. We thank you for the Proverbs as they also teach us about your character, the character of Jesus our Savior. Lord, help us to know you better through these Proverbs, even as we reflect upon them today. And as we would hear your word, Lord, give us diligence to guard our hearts. Give us diligence to follow you. And give us a faith that will not only rest in you, but also strive to walk in your ways. For in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, as you read the Proverbs, and we looked at a selection of a few Proverbs this morning, it is very obvious from the book of Proverbs that God wants us to be diligent people. And so here I am in the middle of summer when people are enjoying their vacations, or at least maybe you already have enjoyed some of your vacation time and you've had a little extra time of leisure, and now the associate pastor comes in to preach on the topic of don't be lazy. I was thinking about putting that on the sign out there for everybody to see, simply don't be lazy. But then I thought I'd just quote a proverb, because you can get away with that maybe a little bit easier. But it's very true, and it's very important for us to recognize that this is a major theme in the book of Proverbs. God doesn't want us to be lazy. God doesn't want us to be sluggards, as the word is used there in Proverbs. He wants us to be diligent in all of our responsibilities. Now, as we think about this theme, and as we look at the book of Proverbs today, I don't want to give people false guilt. I don't want to contribute to people having false guilt, because I think a lot of people, especially mums with little children, let me say, but a lot of people in general, can get false guilt from thinking that they're just not doing enough. And that's not what the book of Proverbs is written for, to give you false guilt. There's a way in which people can feel guilty because they're just not doing as much as they think they should do, but they're not actually being lazy, according to what Proverbs is talking about. They're simply very busy and not able to do all the things they wish they could do. But what I want us to think about when we think about the theme of diligence is being diligent in our actual responsibilities. And so you can think about your life now and ask the question, what are you actually responsible for in relation to God, in relation to your family, in relation to other people around you? What are you actually responsible for? You can't do everything. But what are you responsible for? What the book of Proverbs tells us is that we are to be responsible and we are to be diligent in all of our responsibilities, whatever they may be. And it is an important theme, as we see in the book of Proverbs, for at least two reasons. It is important to be diligent as followers of the Lord for these two reasons. First of all, because diligence is part of God's good design for human life. To be diligent is to walk consistently with God's good design for life, whereas to be lazy is to go contrary to God's good design for life. And the book of Proverbs begins this theme in chapter 6 by saying, go and look at the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person, you person who's wasting your life. Look at the littlest kind of creature that God has made. Look at the littlest example of life on earth that God has designed. And look and observe and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. You know, you don't have to have, like, big bugs taking out the whip to make those ants do their work. Look at that little creature, and yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food in harvest. It's hard to get rid of ants. You know, I know this by first-hand experience. We have little carpenter ants that have come back a number of times to our house, and they like to go and dig into our walls, and you got to use poison, you got to really work to get rid of them, and even when you got rid of them, somehow, a couple years later, they come back. They're hard-working little creatures. And the point of this message in Proverbs 6 is to say, look at the littlest forms of life, and you can think of countless other examples in nature. God has designed the world in such a way that life, His creation of life, is sustained through diligent work. God didn't make the human race in a similar way. He didn't make the human race to be lazy, to just be sitting around. But He gave Adam and Eve a garden to work it and take care of it. God created humanity to work. For 6 days you shall work, and the seventh day would be your day of rest. And there is to be this balance of rest. Yes, we need rest. We are not like God who never grows weary. As humans, we are creatures who need to rest, but we also need to work. And so it's part of God's good design that we would be diligent in all of our responsibilities. And because that's part of God's design, you can see this truth everywhere applied in the fact that there are negative consequences for laziness and there are positive consequences for diligence. I mean, it's obvious. Wisdom is everywhere manifested in this way. And the Proverbs point this out in several places. You can see the negative effects of being lazy, as Proverbs 6 goes on to say, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you as a thief, scarcity like an armed man. And the point is that if you allow yourself to go into a way of laziness without repentance, if you allow yourself to fall into the path of the sluggard, there are negative consequences that will come upon you. You'll lose your job, or you won't get a job in the first place. You won't do well in your relationships, you won't do well in your responsibilities if you neglect them. And eventually poverty, scarcity comes in. You won't have the blessings that you otherwise would have. And so there are many proverbs that just declare this theme to us. It should be obvious to us. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a wise son. You can think about these proverbs written to an agricultural society where you have all these farmers. Of course, you got to work in the summer. You got to take in the fields, right, at the time of harvest. But he who sleeps during the harvest time is a disgraceful son. Could you imagine a farmer who has a lazy 18-year-old son who doesn't want to work in the field, and he'd quote this proverb to him and say, "Look, son, this is God's word to you." It's very true. It is a disgraceful thing to not be using your health for good purposes, for not using your time and your energy for good purposes. It's a disgraceful thing, the Proverbs say, and it brings poverty. And so negative consequences come to laziness, positive consequences come to diligence. Now, of course, if you just read those few select Proverbs, you might think, well, this is nothing special. This is not any special Christian revelation, right? You don't have to be a Christian to know that. I mean, non-Christians can be hardworking people, and in that sense, they are living in harmony with God's design. If they're hardworking and diligent in their responsibilities, you can be a completely godless person, a total anti-Christian, and work hard and make lots of money, or you can be lazy and see negative consequences. But there's a further reason that the Proverbs give, and it's really intrinsic to the whole book of Proverbs. There's a further reason why it's important to be diligent, in that it's an expression of faith in the Lord to be diligent in our responsibilities. And that is part of the whole book of Proverbs and the message of the book as a whole. We're told in Proverbs chapter 3 this very precious statement. At the very beginning and opening of the book of Proverbs, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." This is the promise of God. If you trust in the Lord sincerely with all your heart, you trust in Him as the Lord, as the God who has made promises to you. If you trust in Him for who He truly is, and you acknowledge Him in your day-to-day life, then this is an expression of faith. This is how you see your faith being made manifest. It says that God will make straight your paths. In other words, He will lead you in the straight path. He will lead you in the right way, in the way of righteousness. And so what the book of Proverbs then does, it first of all tells us to trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him and trust in His promises. And then as you live in His way, you see that His way involves wisdom, not foolishness. You see that His way involves righteousness and not wickedness. And we've talked about that over the last couple of Sundays. But then bound up in these Proverbs of contrast, just as it is a contrast between wisdom and foolishness, and there's a contrast between righteousness and wickedness, so there is this contrast between diligence and laziness. And so as you look at the book of Proverbs as a whole, you see that this is not just about telling people how to improve their life like a secular psychologist. This isn't just about, you know, work hard so you can make money and don't be lazy because you're not going to make much in this world, although that's true. There's much more to the importance of this message, in that this is about us living well as Christians. This is about us as a church, you can apply it. If we want to see our church expressing faith in the Lord, and if we want to see our church as Bethesda Church, as a community, doing well in the ways of the Lord and being a good example of a Christian community, we need to be diligent. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to be diligent in reading the Scriptures and in preaching and in all of his works of ministry in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Be diligent in these things, he told Timothy. In Romans chapter 12, verse 8, it says, those who lead in the Christian community, those who lead must do so with diligence. Diligence is to be applied in all of our areas of responsibility as Christians. And so it's part of us expressing our faith in the Lord as we trust in Him with all of our heart, and we don't lean on our own understanding. We acknowledge Him, and He leads us in the straight path, which includes diligence. That is why this is important. And so in the New Testament, likewise, diligence is told as a virtue for all Christians. We're to render service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he's bondservant or free. And so we're to obey the Lord, we're to be diligent, even when people aren't watching us, we're told in Ephesians chapter 6. The question then I want us to consider is, what keeps people from being diligent in following the Lord? What hinders us from being diligent then? The book of Proverbs in chapter 26 actually gives us incredible insight. I was very blessed and challenged as I looked at Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 to 16, as there is this piece of holy satire that's given to us. And you know what satire is? Satire is an exaggerated statement to make fun of something that's bad. People like to use satire to point out the mistakes and the faults of politicians, right? I think satire is a very popular form of communication in our day. And the Bible uses satire in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 to 16, and it points out four characteristics of a sluggard. Four characteristics that keep people from being diligent in following the Lord and being diligent in their responsibilities. And this is what I want us to highlight and notice today especially. What hinders people from being diligent in following the Lord? There are four things, and I actually found a way of, for your memory's sake, you could list them all with an A. And I'll just mention them now if you want to take notes. There is anxiety, number one. There's attachment, number two. Aimlessness, number three. And arrogance, number four. Anxiety, attachment, aimlessness, and arrogance that we see in this satirical description of a sluggard. And this shows us an exaggerated person, an extreme example of a sluggard, but yet it's something that is meant to challenge our hearts. As we look at our hearts, the Proverbs tell us to diligently guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life, right? You're to be diligent in guarding your heart. Look at your heart this morning and see where the Lord might be touching a nerve for you and see where you might need to go to the Lord and trust in the Lord that he would make you right in this way. These are four characteristics that would keep us from diligently following the Lord. First of all, anxiety. This is it's a comical picture. It says, a sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming in the streets. And as you read on, you see this is his excuse for not going to work. And so it's kind of this extreme example of somebody who's coming up with an excuse, and he's saying it's a dangerous world out there. Bad things can happen if I go out to work, if I go out to the marketplace. And so to use a kind of a modern equivalent example, it'd be like somebody getting a phone call from their boss in the morning. You know, it's 9:30, you're supposed to be at work at 9 o'clock, where are you? And you say to your boss, you know, sir, I'm sorry, I can't come into work today. I might get hit by a truck. Well, that's really bizarre. Yeah, I might get hit by a truck. You know, it might happen. So I'd rather just stay home. Well, that is a rather absurd kind of excuse. But besides thinking of this as an absurd excuse, the point is that the sluggard is making excuses based on fear. They're making excuses based on anxiety of what could happen potentially, and it's an unreasonable anxiety that's brought to our example here. But the point is that this is a characteristic of a sluggard, and this is something that can hinder us from being diligent in following the Lord and being diligent in our responsibilities. We all know that anxiety can really hinder our productivity. We're told in Proverbs 12, verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. That's the nature of anxiety. And so again, I'm always worried about false guilt when I think of mothers with young children or anybody, really. People getting false guilt, it can contribute to their anxiety if they think they're never doing enough. On the other hand, there are people who are just trying to do what they can do, but they're stuck and they can't get very far. They can't go very far in life. They can't be very productive because there's so much anxiety that's filling their heart. It's weighing them down. And I want you to think of your life right now. Are there anxieties? Are there anxieties that come to your mind on a regular basis? What are the sources of your anxieties? I think for young people, the book of Proverbs was written primarily for younger people, teenagers, for example, starting out in life on the path towards maturity. And I think for a lot of people, young people in particular, having anxiety about the future can come in the form of fear of failure. A lot of people are afraid of failing, and so they never start out. They never apply to that program, or they never try for that job, or they never get training for that career that they would really want, because they think, well, what if I fail? What if I show that I'm no good at that? And they're afraid of failure, and that's a lion to them. I don't know what it might be in your life that's limiting you. Anxieties can be a generalized thing, and you might need to talk to other Christians about this. You might need to get Christian counseling if this is an extreme problem for you. Find another believer. Talk to a pastor. But anxiety in the heart will weigh you down. It will keep you from being productive and from being diligent in your responsibilities. It's easy to get caught up in thinking of what might happen and then not do anything productive here and now in this world now. The proverb's going to say, a good word makes the heart glad. And we have good news in the scripture. We have good news, a good word from God, that God will never leave us or forsake us. We have all the reason in the world as Christians not to be anxious, but by everything, by prayer and petition, to give our anxieties to the Lord. We have all the reason in the world, knowing that Jesus came and he took upon himself everything that we should be fearful of. Jesus took upon himself the curse. He took upon himself the judgment that sinners deserve. Everything that we should be fearful of, Jesus already took upon himself. And so in the gospel, a good word makes us glad. And a good word, as it's worked through our soul, will show us the way to be free from anxiety and the way of diligence then. But the second thing we can notice in this picture of the sluggard then, not only is he anxious, thinking about what if there's a lion out there, but he's also attached, too much attached to earthly comforts. And you could say an over-attachment to earthly comforts. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. So again, picture this guy. This is the chief occupation of his life. Like a door that turns on its hinges, connected, attached to the hinge, so a sluggard, that's what he does all day, he turns on his bed. Okay, left side. Hour later, right side. You know, I saw a funny segment of a show the other day where the guy talked about how he's complaining to his friend that, what do you mean I don't exercise? I'm doing crunches every day. Look, he takes his potato chip and then he crunches it. And gets another potato chip and he crunches it. It's the same kind of satire that we have here in Proverbs. What do you mean he doesn't do anything? He's going from the left to the right every day, left and right on his bed like a door on its hinges. And so the point is that he's attached to this earthly comfort of his bed. Now again, don't pile up on yourself false guilt. It says in the Psalms that God gives his beloved sleep. And in Proverbs chapter 4, or actually Proverbs chapter 3, we read about how sleep is a good blessing for God's people. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. If you follow the way of wisdom and discretion, it says, that'll be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. You will walk in your way securely. It's not bad to have a sense of security. Your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. That's a good thing for believers, to enjoy sleep. We should sleep about 8 hours a day, we're told, right? Everybody's a little bit different, but that's the average. And so, you know, sleep is a good thing. It reminds us that we're not God. God's taking care of this whole world when we go to sleep. God doesn't need you to keep the world going. And so you can sleep a third of your life, and that's a good thing if you portion it out. 8 hours a day, or so about. And we should enjoy sleep. It should be sweet to us when we go to sleep. We should thank God when we go to bed, and we should praise God when we get up in the morning. But what we're told about it with the sluggard is that he's hinged to this earthly comfort. He's hinged to it. That is his place of refuge, that bed. That is the place that he is ultimately attached to. And so you can apply this principle to any other earthly comfort, whether that's money, an attachment to the things of this world. Some people, they're not diligent in the things of the Lord. They're not diligent in serving the Lord and using their gifts in the church and in the kingdom of God in general because they just want to make more money. And they might look like people who are diligent because in respect to their earthly employment, they're busy. They're working long hours. They're working overtime. They're burning themselves out at their earthly job. But actually, this is an attachment. This is another form of attachment to an earthly comfort and earthly security. There are many people who are wrongly and overly attached to earthly securities, whatever that might be, whether that's sleep or money or leisure. Again, it's not a bad thing to enjoy leisure. It's not a bad thing to enjoy the money that you have. God has given everything to be enjoyed within moderation. But the Proverbs warn about this characteristic of a sluggard. And do you see that in your heart, potentially, where you are overly attached to the things of this earth? Like a sluggard on his bed, then. We are told then in the New Testament, and this is how we are to break free from earthly attachments, from being overly attached to earthly comfort. It says, keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because he, that's God, has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? This is the solution to earthly anxieties, like the sluggard who's worried about the lion and what's out there in the big bad world. And this is the solution to an over-attachment to the things of this world, like a sluggard who's hinged to his bed. This is the solution. Trust in the Lord. Look to the Lord as your comfort. Look to the Lord as your provider. And look to the promise that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. And know that that's much better than money or sleep or any other earthly thing. Think of how Jesus put his finger on the nerve of the rich young ruler. Jesus could see into the heart of that rich young man who was attached to his wealth. And he said, give up those treasures. Come and follow me. And what was evident, sadly, was that he was more attached to his riches. He was more attached to his earthly comforts than to Jesus. And so, again, this is an important thing for us to take to heart. What hinders people from diligently following the Lord? Again, there's this sense of aimlessness. The third verse of this satire and this picture of the sluggard is that he buries his hand in the dish. Think again, the guy going deep into the potato chips. He's going deep into the M&Ms. He's looking for his favorite M&M. But he's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. Isn't that amazing? It made me think of the, you know, picture of the guy sitting as a couch potato, and he's got his hat with two beverages, and they're streaming to his mouth. I was going to put that picture up there, but you got it in your mind already, right? People are constantly looking for easier ways of getting things done. But what's the problem here, I believe, as you reflect on this, is that there's this sense of aimlessness and not wanting to finish things in life. Not being driven by an ultimate purpose. Not being driven by an ultimate goal. Having no real aim and drive in life. A sluggard, somebody who starts out, in this case, puts his hand in the dish, but he's too lazy to bring it back, to finish the job. You see, the other two verses talk about somebody who's afraid to start things. And that can be a problem of many sluggish people. They're afraid to get started on the journey. They're afraid to go out and take risks. And this person, he starts, but he doesn't want to finish the job. And that's the distinction of this verse. And so we can think about this applied spiritually, because remember, this is a matter of life and death in the Proverbs. The way of the wise and the way of the righteous and the way of the diligent is the way of life. The way of the foolish and the way of the wicked and the way of the sluggard is a way of destruction. This is a serious matter. We can think about this in relation to eternal realities and in relation to the Lord. Many people start out interested in Christianity. Many people start out interested in the things of Jesus. Jesus had a number of people following him as he was giving out bread and fish. There were thousands of people gathering around Jesus. But as you read in the Gospel of John, many people turned and did not want to follow to the end. They did not want to continue on that path. And they showed spiritually that they were sluggards, spiritually speaking. They didn't want to finish. They didn't have their eyes on the final goal. And they didn't have Jesus as their ultimate prize. They just wanted the bread. They just wanted the fish. And then they were happy and they went their own way. They didn't want the giver. They just wanted the gifts. And this is something that we can look at in the spiritual realm as a very dangerous problem. If we are aimless in life, it could be evidence that our souls are not really clinging to Jesus. And we're not really being led by him. We're told in Proverbs chapter 4 again, keep your heart with all vigilance, and some translations say with diligence. This is the way of the Christian life, to guard your heart with diligence or with vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life. It goes on to say, let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. In other words, on the way of the Lord. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. That is to be our lifelong way of following the Lord. And so we can't just be aimless all our life. We can't just say, well, I'll go to church when it's convenient. And then I'll pray when it's convenient, or when I have to. When somebody asks me to pray, I guess I'll pray. That's the way of an aimless person. Starting out just little by little. Again, the Proverbs talk about someone saying a little slumber, a little sleep, and they're always making soft choices. They're not really driven to follow the Lord. They're just aimlessly wandering, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And that is the way of the sluggard. It's an aimless way. And again, God warns us about that. That cannot be the character of our life forever. That is not the way of eternal blessedness. And so what hinders people from diligently following the Lord, it could be that aimlessness. It could also be, ultimately, behind it all, a sense of arrogance or pride. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly. And so this is a way of saying that a sluggard is ultimately a proud person at heart. I was thinking about that. What would make you say that a sluggard, a lazy guy, trapped in his bed, not willing to finish any job, what would make you say that he's proud or arrogant, that he's so wise in his own eyes? Maybe the idea here is that he thinks that he's already living a good life. I mean, he's got all he wants. He's got his bed, he's got his food. If somebody could just put it in his mouth for him, that'd be great. He likes the idea of other people serving him and resting off the inheritance and just enjoying the things that he already has. He thinks this is the way of life. Man, I've got it made. And so he's wiser in his own eyes, and he looks down on other wise, hardworking people, and he says, I don't want that. You guys are working yourself so hard, working for the Lord. Whatever, I've already got all that I want. And so there is this fundamental characteristic of arrogance or pride. When people are already happy with the life that they have, and they don't think they need God, and they don't think they need to diligently follow the Lord, at best, they are self-deceived. And at worst, they're outright arrogant. And so there is this sense of arrogance in which maybe the sluggard is also thinking, that work is beneath me. That's beneath me to go work in the field. That's beneath me to do that responsibility. And they're always thinking, that's not what I want to do. I just want to do what I want to do. And that's really the way of arrogance that will keep you from being diligent in following the Lord. And so we are warned about these characteristics, but also as we reflect upon these characteristics of the sluggard, you see, this picture of the sluggard is given as a warning, but it can also serve as a reflection, as a backwards reflection, as an inverse reflection of the character and the glory of Christ. You see, the bad news is that all of us, spiritually speaking, have these tendencies of the sluggard. The bad news is that the sluggard is not just an extreme man, even though you can make an extreme picture of him. The sluggard is in all of us. Separated from the Holy Spirit, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, we are all on that path, being wise in our own eyes. We are all on that path wanting others to serve us and not to serve and engage ourselves and give our life for others. But the good news is that Jesus has come into this world. And this is, if anything else, if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear this. You see, the book of Proverbs was given to prepare the way for Christ, who would come 1,000 years later. The book of Proverbs wasn't just here to tell you how to get earthly money and earthly success. It was given to prepare for the way of the King of Israel, one greater than Solomon. And the good news is that Jesus has come in perfect humility, not like the arrogant sluggard, wise in his own eyes. Jesus came in all humility, willing to spend time with the weakest, willing to spend time with the lowliest, and to work hard every day of his earthly ministry. He got up early in the morning to pray, the scripture says, and he would stay up late at night in his ministry. He would often grow tired as he was working as a man on earth. Jesus came in perfect humility, not to be served, not to say, hey, disciples, bring some grapes to my mouth. But rather he said, I've come to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. As he went to the cross, his journey And his mission was to complete the work that the Father had appointed for him. In John chapter 5, he talks about finishing the work that the Father had given to him. He came as the opposite of the sluggard, as the diligent son. Jesus came to fulfill the Proverbs of diligence, being a wise and diligent son who would please the Father. Jesus came, and whereas the sluggard turns on his bed back and forth and is hinged to his bed, Jesus could say the Son of Man has not a stone to lay his head. Jesus gave up earthly comforts. He didn't own earthly property in Israel. He didn't even own a bed as he spoke those words. He came to deny himself of earthly comforts and to make himself poor so that we would be rich in relationship to him. And Jesus came not hindered by anxieties or fears. In fact, as I mentioned, he came and he took upon himself that which we should all be afraid of, the judgment of God. Jesus took upon himself the judgment that sinners deserve. And so even the greatest possible fears that came upon his soul did not hinder him from his faithfulness and his diligence all the way to the cross, all the way to the grave. Jesus was the opposite of the sluggard, not hindered by anxieties, real fears. So the good news is that Jesus, in his diligence, has accomplished for us something that we could never accomplish for ourselves. You see, the book of Proverbs, if you just take it at the surface level, you can see that, yes, you work hard and you gain a reward here in this world. But you know there is a reward that you could never gain. All of your diligence on earth, all of my diligence, all of our hard work in this world could never give us eternal blessedness, eternal life, eternal riches, eternal honor. We could never gain that by our diligence, but Jesus could and he did. Because he is God who has come in the flesh, Jesus has lived out the perfect life that we could not live. He's the opposite of the sluggard. And so we think of the hymn, it says, Rock of Ages, it says, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite? No, in other words, if I had zeal that was endless, could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. That's something we must always remember when we come to the Proverbs. The Proverbs emphasize sanctification. The Proverbs emphasize how we are to walk with the Lord and to become like the Lord. The Proverbs don't say as much directly about justification and the basis in which we enter eternal life, but yet they reflect to us the character of our Lord, the character of our Lord who has fulfilled the Proverbs, who has been the diligent and wise and righteous Son, who has taken the judgment that sinners deserve upon himself. And it's by his labor, it's by his fulfilling the law, it's by his diligence, going to the cross, facing all fears, and being faithful to the end, being able to say it is finished, is by his work that he saves us. And the good news is that as the diligent son, then he is rewarded. We're told this proverb is true. When you think of that sign out there, it says, diligent hands will rule. Think about the hands of Christ, which will rule forever. When you think about diligent hands, which gain reward, which gain riches, think about the hands of Christ, which has now purchased a reward and has gained a rich inheritance. We're told Jesus, being found in human form, humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, and therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that's above every name. We're told that Jesus has now been rewarded for his diligent work. He's now crowned with glory and honor, and that is what he shares with us who follow him. And so don't give up in this journey that's called the Christian life. Don't give up being diligent. Know that there is a reward that Christ will share with his people. As he spoke of when he was on earth, he said that the day will come when he will look at his servants and those who have been righteous, those who have followed him with diligence. He will say, come and share your master's happiness. Come and share that reward that he has purchased. Let's look to him today and turn away from whatever would be keeping us from diligence in following him. Father, we thank you for your proverbs of wisdom. We thank you for the reward that Jesus has gained and earned by his sinless life and his perfect diligence to the cross. We thank you, Father, that you have raised Jesus from the dead, that we have a living Savior, not just an example to follow from history, but we have a living Savior, risen from the dead, who is ruling the nations, who has riches in his right hand. Lord, we thank you that you are such a God that ever watches us. Help us, Lord, to keep our hearts and to be diligent in following you in this next season of life. I pray especially for Bethesda Church, for all the ministries that begin in September and onward. Help us to be diligent in this next stage of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.